Welcome, allies. Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are. It's a jumpy time. It's a jumpy time. We will dive into it. We remember that astrology is at least twofold. It is descriptive, like, and then guiding. So let's all take a deep breath because it's a jumpy time. But here we are, healing the land by holding myriad stories simultaneously. So astro-mytho-enthusiasm for democracy, the much good magic of the Democratic Convention, with the sine qua non from the cauldron of cruel carnage, you know, we conjure Palestinian safe supported autonomy and full global support and enforcement. So we welcome the return of Jerome McGeorge, a fellow anarcho-astro-animist, enviro-farmer-wizard, co-founder of Organic Valley, honoring indigenous prophecy, teased into guiding pertinence for us now. Jerome is a longtime ally of the Kogi in Colombia, with whom he spent much time, and he was chosen by them to be their guide on their first trip to America, October 20th to November 5th, 1999, sponsored by Organic Valley, an investigative mission of discovery bringing messages of wisdom, warning, and mutual aid. We're going to bring that forth. So, welcome from the anarcho-astro-animist haven of Viroqua, Wisconsin. Welcome, Jerome.
Welcome to the KPFA audience. As we have agreed, this inquiry, this exploration of Native American prophecy, particularly the Kogi and the Hopi, that it is both a serious, but also a spirit of playful and profound as we explore Native American prophecy and its lessons, its insights for us in the world today.
Yeah, so we want to be, we're weaving many stories together, right? We have a Jupiter-Mars conjunction, part of the T-square in Gemini, and Jupiter says there can be 20, 30 stories all going on at once, and they can even be conflicting and all true. So which ones are we going to animate? So if it's good with you, I thought we would start off with the Reverend Raphael Warnock clip from the Democratic Convention, just because it guides us into healing the land. Is that good with you, Jerome?
I love Reverend Warnock, a wonderful voice, and his senatorial unique perspective is a blessing to the American experiment, and indeed the inspiring convention that we are all about to see the culmination of this evening.
Right. Okay. So let's hear Reverend Raphael Warnock a brief clip of what his presentation was, and it will guide us into everything we want to talk about. So here's Reverend Raphael Warnock.
I'm inspired by all of you. I'm inspired by the resilience of an American spirit that has rebounded from the pandemic and is holding at bay the forces that are trying to divide us. And I'm inspired tonight by the memory of my late father, a preacher and a junk man. Monday through Friday, he lifted old broken cars and put them on the back of an old rig. But on Sunday morning, the man who lifted broken cars lifted broken people whom other people had discarded and told them that they were God's somebody. My dad discovered strength in the broken places, a power made perfect in weakness. And so I'm convinced tonight that we can lift the broken even as we climb. I'm convinced tonight that we can heal sick bodies. We can heal the wounds that divide us. We can heal a planet in peril. We can heal the land. And in a strange way, the pandemic taught us how. A contagious airborne disease means that I have a personal stake in the health of my neighbor. If she's sick, I may get sick also. Her health care is good for my health. I'm just trying to tell you that we are as close in our humanity as a cough. I need my neighbor's children to be okay so that my children will be okay. I need all of my neighbor's children to be okay. Poor inner city children in Atlanta and poor children of Appalachia. I need the poor children of Israel and the poor children of Gaza. I need Israelis and Palestinians. I need those in the Congo, those in Haiti, those in Ukraine. I need American children on both sides of the track to be okay. Because we are all God's children. And so let's stand together. Let's work together. Let's organize together. Let's pray together. Let's stand together. Let's heal the land. God bless you.
Whoa. Okay, Jerome. Let's heal the land. And just a brief thing to slip inside that we'll weave throughout our hour. I am a big appreciator of Representative Rua Roman, the first Palestinian elected official to state government in Georgia. And we want to see her presenting tonight at the convention. Just see it. We know expectation is the partner of disappointment, right? But willingness is the dance partner of life. So we're not expecting, but we're willing. And she said, I want to cut through the noise and remind everyone that those who attend conventions are the strongest supporters of our party. The majority of attendees have been wearing ceasefire pins, keffiyehs, and our Palestinian flags. It's been beautiful. And I need folks to remember that. So I just wanted to, we'll come back to her, but to weave that. And then to you, Jerome, you know, to heal the land, however you want to start with the Kogi.
Well, as an introduction to Kogi culture, I might observe that the training of Kogi shamans begins by recognition by divinatory techniques, ritual, and the Kogi shamans, once recognized in early childhood, are withdrawn into a cave for the next 9 years. They are in a world of instructions, of prayers, of ritual, and after 9 years, with only enough light in the cave by fire to keep them from going blind, from special diet, as well as the instructions for the shamanic journey they are about to begin. They then come out after 9 years into the living creation. Consider what that might be. As further introduction, after 1525, as the living sacrifice of mass death, loss of homeland, so similar to the Gazan people, they were brutally brought to the Tayona from the Spanish conquest. They fled in terror higher up the mountains, bewildered, by such ambitious greed and berserk violence. Their elaborate, intricately integrated city-state culture was being systematically shattered by invaders. After thousands of years of evolving cultural adaptations, growing gardens woven into jungle slopes, varied watersheds, the Mamos guided a cloud forest adaptation back into village culture as their survival Saturday. Today, only 51 Tairona villages remain, facing extinction or loss of culture or both, like all the rest of us. That they live 10 to 13,000 feet of altitude in the Sierra Nevada de Santa Marta mountains of Colombia. Their mother mountain rises over 19,000 feet. There are three surviving Tairona tribes, Togi, Arhuaco, and Asarios. They are led by shamans called Mamas or Mamos. Perhaps they are the last living survivors of shamanic tribes in the world. I have introductory readings from the Elder Brother's Call, a prophecy from Mamo Aventayara. He is a oral historian shaman and translated by Juan Biafania. Our welcome to all the younger brothers and sisters who have had the opportunity and patience to listen to us. I want to make a strong appeal for reflections, not only in behalf of our own country, but also of the continent, both North and South America. These are times of great need, and it seems there is a wide opening for philosophical and religious streams of thought which we have in our bosoms. You have suffered in your own flesh the injuries that have been inflicted to the earth. These injuries are also embedded in men who are gradually losing their identity. To preserve what we have defended for millennia, these reflections should lead us to an individual inner communication with you. For it is as if we were making a selection of the best seeds to be sown in the future. Just now, I was listening to the message of the thunder, namely that at this moment, our people in the Sierra need to achieve true communication with you. So let us start shedding our fears of natural phenomena, for they are part of our integrity. I would be happy to share with you many simple teachings. To us, humbleness is a sign of wisdom. That is, we want you to pass on to the new generations. You may speak the different languages of the world, but it does not suffice to speak them. You need to know the language of nature, the language of all that surrounds you. To us, all that circles around us is full of experience, full of life. Let us rescue these great sources again, these great truths of the earth that seem to have vanished. Religious differences are pointless here, for we do not have such a concept as religion. The God concept to us is unity, the total living together, the maximum total identity we might have as human beings. If we achieve that maximum of togetherness, we achieve a deep respect for all things we may observe. In that way, nothing would do us harm, for nothing in this life is evil. All is good. It is you yourselves who have turned it evil. Humankind has self turned it evil. And that so harmonizes with the message that we just listened to from Senator Warnock, that unity, togetherness, as is being celebrated in my reception of what is being spoken and so inspiringly at the Democratic Convention that we have been sharing together recently, that our way forward, our addressing the profound ecological crises, the crisis of inequality in a world of 8 billion souls, unity is a core of the answer.
That's fabulous. You are so together and prepared, and such a great transmitter, Jerome McGeorge. As Senator Warnock said, you know, basically altruism is self-interest, unity and diversity, and we go right and heal the earth. And so we both love the astrological, mythological language, and to have that so. We remember that Jupiter is in its shadow, meaning when it arrived at 11 plus Gemini, it will go forward to 21 and then back to 11, where it will station, taking us into next year. And the Sabian symbol for that degree is black woman standing up for her rights, for all of our rights. And part of what suffuses the Democratic Convention and all of life now is so many powerful women, so many great black women. I love Jasmine Crockett. I love Jasmine Crockett. And then I'm at the beach with the dogs and the full moon on the 19th. And so when Michelle Obama was speaking, I stepped outside, and as she was speaking, it was an exact moon Saturn conjunction at 17 plus Pisces, which is villagers witness a spectacular performance in a tent, right? So it's like, ooh, so there's the human story, the befoibled thing, all the things that many of our team are grumpy about, and then there's the larger dynamic going, ooh, the moon Saturn. And I listened to Obama under the full moon, and it was like, ooh, ooh, we can be better than we are. It was an invitation. To, yes, kind of like Lincoln to the better angels of our nature. And I remember when I first heard Obama, 2004, when he was a senator at that Democratic convention that KPFA and I was part of the KPFA team covering it, and I'm like, whoa, who's this guy? And I go, oh, his Mars, his woofiness, is 22 degrees of Virgo. The U.S. Neptune, when this country was founded, is 22 Virgo. So he's Marsing, he's animating the desirable vision of this country. And he did. And we returned to his address under the full moon. And once again, he was animating the desirable vision of the country. And I know I go back to expectation as the partner of disappointment. So many people with Obama were like, oh, I'm so disappointed. And it's like, quite a lot of expectation. But willingness. And I would just, you know, to and fro with you, Jerome, and all of our team. So let's compost expectation and consequent disappointment, but be willing to participate with all of our skills to see the thing. So, because it is, you know, we're holding this complexity. So Obama, I was listening to him under the full moon going, woo, and actually had a kind of ecstatic moment that the mythological is suffusing, you know, the political. They're operating on many levels. And it's true that Gaza and the cruel carnage of Palestinians in the West Bank and in Gaza does hang. It is an important, it hung, and that's why Senator Warnock was the first person to mention the children of Gaza with huge support, and come back to Representative Ruwa saying, you know, it's more complex, there's more support. And I do want to, I'd messaged her, not that we're close, I'm just a big admirer, and I said, because there was some possibility, and is some possibility, that she would speak tonight. There was a yes, then a no, then a whatever, and we go, okay. And so I messaged to her, so we will spiral forth, hashtag let Ruwa speak, to our radio audience now, the Visionary Activist Show, envisioning, not expecting, but willing, that may the path unfurl for her worthy, wise self to present on stage tonight. We're disappointment proof, but we're just seeing it, you know, on some level. We're opening portals between worlds. And she had said, my speech urged us to unite behind Harris, criticize Trump, and spoke about the promise of this moment. The only reason we're doing this is to save the soul of our party and prevent bad actors from using our pain in an ongoing voter suppression campaign. And Representative Maxwell Alejandro Frost, really great guy, had said, Representative Ruwa is a Democratic leader who has been working to keep Georgia blue and elect VP Harris. She would be a unifying speaker for peace. I think they just spoke because Representative Ruwa had said, when she met with Harris, with Kamala, briefly, she said, I would proclaim my endorsement from the rooftops if we could have something substantial. So, again, many things, many stories going on, you know, backstage and onstage. We want to just see the desirable. But, yeah, and then let me toss it back to you, Jerome, because the Kogi had put out, you know, on the, you know, winter solstice just now, 2023, you know, they're saying it is important for everyone to pledge their dedication to the earth, you know, by this summer solstice behind us, but we're extending it, going, now is a good time for deepest dedication, everyone listening to go, what is our deepest dedication? And they'd said, according to what we do now, will determine if more than a third of the earth is alive a year and a half later, the winter solstice of 2025. And we had both noted, Jerome, that not that they determined this astrologically, we don't necessarily need astrology. It's a remedial language of participation. But Neptune, we're all in this dream together. We're all one underlying unity. Is stationing now at 29 degrees Pisces, the last degree of the zodiac, and then it will go backwards. And then on the winter solstice of 2025, it will be at 29 Pisces again. So what does that say to you, Jerome McGeorge?
So I want to respond to your remarks, and once again with reference to the convention we're seeing, I was deeply impressed by the roll call of the states, and so often it was women, and particularly women of color, but it was a celebration of our togetherness, and that we are diverse people, and for myself, I am a profound student of Native American prophecy, and that we need the prophetic statements that, as you were referencing, there is something we can all take a silent prayer and thanksgiving for, that Native American leaders, both North and South America, are in a constant consultation. At times, messages, elements of their prophecy come forth, and as you were just recounting, that we are in a time of perhaps extinction. And yet the message of togetherness, and it is a profound belief of mine that not only is there a necessity for the guidance of Native American prophecy, but another key to our happy survival is more women in leadership. I do take such great, it is dedication of women speaking as they never have before, and that is a worldwide phenomenon, and it is a message that our unity in diversity is to be emphasized, that we are a single, interconnected, and interdependent living system, that the Kogi, the Hopi, know the consequences of our destructive ways are being disastrous, and that Indigenous people also want to emphasize that we need to be humble about our place in nature, and that industrial agriculture, industrial society, the dominance of technology and science are creating a world that is unsustainable. And part of the wisdom coming from Native American prophecy is this unity, this togetherness is our salvation, and that we must be frugal and practical, not industrial and technical in our dominance of nature. We find our place within the whole natural creation, and that we need to listen to the best among us and find a new unity. And some, I want to observe that America today has become schizophrenic America, and that it is only coming to a greater togetherness that will be our better future, if it is a future at all. We are threatened with extinction. We are carrying on under industrial, technical, scientific direction, destruction of nature, a destruction of the living creation, and that we have enormous witness to the mass extinction of species. And if this continues, it is us too that will become extinct, that it is only in our love and unity, our togetherness, that we may move forward, and following Native American example, in a much more frugal and humble fashion, that our arrogance is always a wrong course, and that humbleness is wisdom. I also want to say, in addition to more women in leadership as a course to a better future, more listening to Native American messaging and prophecy, a better future, and listening to the voices of our young worldwide is also another path. They are more engaged in survival than so many of their elders. And of course, I'm speaking from a perspective of 83 years of age myself, and I definitely agree that both Donald Trump and Joe Biden are too old to not only be president, but to be in any position of leadership. And it is definitely encouraging that Kamala Harris and Kim Waltz represent appropriate leadership of experience and some gathered wisdom, and combining that, as both of them not only as strong leaders, but as humble and practical people, Kim Waltz particularly being an example of that. And for myself, knowing Kamala's heart chart for horoscope quite deeply and having studied her chart, she has a collection of experience, a very distinguished biography, a diverse biography, which in the sense of the three categories of governance that we Americans so recognize, she obviously, her brilliant prosecutor career is the judicial. She, as a senator, and a quite distinct new adventure when she became senator from California, she was still so distinguished, so competent as senator that Joe Biden chose her to be a vice president. She now, in her executive career, and many critiques of Kamala at the beginning of that executive career, but she is now so the dignified, experienced, and some would say loving, compassionate, and very strong, tough leader that we so deserve right now.
Ah, no, that's right. You are so coherent in proffering that we went past our halfway mark, but we're going to play just a smidge of Kogi music. You'll hear it's quite sort of discombobulating, maybe so that we can be recombobulated, but we just have a little bit of Kogi music to play now. So here we go. Hi, welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Our splendiferous guest is Jerome McGeorge. And that was Kogi music. I think it's kind of witty and perfect, but it's quite discombobulating. It's kind of like the mutable T-square now, which is like, whoa, that we can then recombobulate our nervous system. And then just to, you know, to dance with what you put forth so much. I love Sir Herbert Reed saying, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. It's like, let's just put this on our altar of desirable mystery. As we've noted backstage, Jerome, you know, the sun just entered Virgo. It's a shift, right? So it's the realm of the power of language. And it reminds us, you know, whatever we speak to one another is the part of them we're invited to dance. Virgo is the realm of critique, criticism, diagnosis, in order to heal. So we just put out an invitation to all of us, you know, to critique. Yes, that's part one. That's part one, but don't leave it there. Critique and then guiding and vision. And it is a complex and simple, beautiful thing, again, that the mythological can suffuse our human selves, not to inflate the human, but just that we can be vessels for something larger than ourselves. And so seeing, as you say, women in leadership, you know, Kamala Harris born at the full moon in Aries, the moon is in Aries now, it quintiles Pluto. So it says by the woofiness of all of us as honorary women leaders, no matter, you know, temporary age, race, and gender assignment, you know, the moon quintiles Pluto. So we also get to think, what shall we toss into the cauldron of death and rebirth, right? And we can nominate things, right? So the addiction to having an enemy, that would be good. Are you up for that, Jerome? Shall we toss the addiction to having an enemy into the cauldron?
I would suggest in very specific language that perhaps Kamala will understand and lead us into China must become our friend and ally, and addressing worldwide need for a unity, not a division, not more war or preparations for war. How do we become allies to address the profound ecological crises, to address the profound inequality among the 8 billion souls here today on Earth? And that personally, I need to unify. I, in my own dwelling in schizophrenic America, I can be a voice, a prophet of doom, and yet at the same time, I know I must be a voice of more loving kindness. And how do we, and how does Kamala help us understand that there is no more enemy think? There needs to be a cessation of constant war and preparations for war. It kind of reminded me of William Blake, who 200 years ago said, "Art degraded, imagination denied, war governs the nations." That must cease. And Native Americans want to give us and do give us messages of unity, not war and dissension.
That's great. And again, back to the Neptune part of all of us, it's simply the intelligence of oneness. And as wonderful ally Deborah Felmuth says, you know, in the Middle East, in Syria, you know, that shalom, salam, peace, it's not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of oneness. We're all in this dream together. Senator Warnock brings it up, you bring it up, the Kogi bring it up. We're all in this dream together. You know, and what you bring up about China, I know many people who will be happy to hear you say that. And we've been speaking backstage also about Tim Walz having spent time in China as a worthy agent of, you know, allies out of enmity. You know, again, we're all in this thing together. Yeah, and to speak to the good, there's tyranny everywhere and befoibledness everywhere, but also, you know, and also what we speak to, you know, China's environmental ingenuity is strong. And just a little shout out to the metaphor the real metaphor of Tim Walz that I love. He and Kamala are both 1964 dragons. It's a two dragon ticket. Ursula Gwynn says, "Those who do not listen to dragons are doomed to live out the nightmares of politicians." I love that. So, you know, as many, you know, secular progressive critical people have said, we will be disappointed in Tim Walz. We will be disappointed in Kamala Harris. And it's like, yes, yes, of course. That's and let that not suppress our appreciation and encouragement. You know, he taught, his first teaching assignment was on the Pine Ridge Reservation. He spent time teaching in China. It's why he bows, right? He does that why bowing. And, you know, in one of the interviews that he did, the interviewer asked him at the end, like, well, what books are you reading now? And I've forgotten, I apologize, I've forgotten the name of the author, but it's an Islamic African author, and it's called The Secret Life of Men. He said, I'm just finishing reading that now, so I got it on Audible immediately, and it's like, wow, it's this really complex, you know, written by African author, literary thriller that's very sexy. And it's like, what an interesting book to be reading. And then he's also reading something on nuclear disasters that keeps him up at night. And then he's reading a Somerset Maugham novel. And it's like, wow, what a smart, rich, interesting person. And to see him and his family and the football team that he brought to championship, you know, who love him, and his children. And when he says, you know, you, my wife, and my kids, you are my everything. And his son, you know, with tears, right, in a beautiful, beautiful way, going, that's my dad, that's my dad. And we go and we protect that beauty. You know, already the dementors are like, oh, he's neurodivergent, it's like, no, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I just wanted to put this complexity and the embodiment of kindness and coaching, you know, and going, yes, let our critique not be in the way of our encouraging praise of everything abounding. So yeah, no, that's good. You know, and what you said, yeah, more of, you know, the voice of more loving kindness, you know, which you are, Jerome McGeorge, and wonderfully prepared. So yeah, and then just, you know, where, as you know, you know, in our onstage and backstage, you know, to and fro, you know, Aries Libra dance, you know, go anywhere you want at any time, you know, but there you are in Wisconsin, you know, a denizen of Wisconsin, born in Wisconsin, and the land and Wisconsin, always important, right? But important also this election season. And I like putting out, you know, trouncing Trump and the Dementors, right? So that we can get on with a culture of loving kindness, inclusivity, and absolutely implementation of Palestinian sovereignty and all of those things. We it's all on the table. You know, we see the openings and we work wherever possible, as Representative Ruwa said. You know, when people are like, and they go, no, people who say, you know, Kamala Harris, blah, 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 terrible, many things, they go, they don't know the many ways in which she has helped Palestinians backstage. I mean, she's got a lot, you know. So we encourage the good. We are aware of the critique and encourage the good, so we don't just, I mean, this Sun in Virgo says, you know, our language and our words are, well, language is one of the first great technologies of magical cooperation. It's powerful. So critique, yes, and then the desirable vision, yes, and the encouraging. You know, as we were saying last night, or I brought up Dante, you know, Dante's invocation, which we can all, everybody, take into our hearts. You know, speak to us, O Muse, and through us tell the story, right? To assume cultural narrative lead. You know, a culture of kindness, better angels of our nature, reverent ingenuity, in all realms. So yes, I love that. Do you want to sing to us of Wisconsin, just for the fun of it? You know, your love of the land and the land itself and Organic Valley and Representative Tammy Duckworth, and just whatever you want to say about an invocation to Wisconsin.
Listening to that wonderful direction, I would say last Friday we were at our Maybe Lately restaurant here in Viroqua, and as it happened, the newly elected out of her primary election, Rebecca Cook, is our new Democratic nominee to oppose our current very right-wing politician named Van Orden. She emphasized in her campaign that she grew up on a farm and that she wants to speak the Wisconsin, the Minnesota, the Michigan, that we are three Great Lakes states, and at this moment in time, we have the wonderful governor of Minnesota, which America is being introduced to, Tim Walz. We also have a very excellent governor here in Wisconsin, Tony Evers, who has spent a lifetime, like Tim Walz, in the promotion of education and all the goodness that comes from education. And of course, the third Great Lakes state, surrounded by, on the west, in Minnesota, is the source of the Mississippi River and the great river system that the Mississippi represents, that the Lake Superior is our north, or for Wisconsin, Lake Michigan is our eastern border, and for Michigan, it is the western border. And they then have the northwest of Lake Huron. In this same Great Lakes, what we once spoke of as the sacred waters bioregion of these three states, that we began Organic Valley in 1988, 36 years ago. Our first, and we, some of us, very much influenced by Native American teaching and connection to Native America. And at the time I was born, Wisconsin had the third largest population of indigenous people of any state. That is no longer true. However, as I challenged our new nominee for the Democratic Party in Congress, that we have a triple mission. The mission of Organic Valley was first to small farms, and it is to be observed that small farms in Wisconsin and in this nation continue to go out of business. And when we founded Organic Valley in 1988, there not only were too many auctions of failed farms, but also too many suicides. That our second mission, if we have a mission to small farms, our second mission is the worldwide organic movement. We are connected to organic agriculture, including Australia, New Zealand, the nations of Europe, and we have been connected to organic agriculture in China since we first went there in 2007. A third mission is our mission to cooperatives, and I would point out the profoundest difference between cooperatives and corporations are cooperatives are totally democratic. One person, one vote. That triple mission is a mission to a dedication to the goodness of the land, the sacredness of the land, and that we must, in an evolving organic consciousness, when Organic Valley began in 1988, the word organic did not mean anything in the American or even the world context, that it has begun to have a more profound meaning, and yet it also is a movement that is hardly growing at all. And that the third mission, cooperatives, are a mission of unified consciousness, that cooperatives are dedicated and find their well-being in togetherness. This theme of how do we create unity, more unity and diversity in the world, is part of what Organic Valley means, and that it's been a successful business is also to be noted, but it is unique because we are mission-oriented, and we all need to have a sense of mission, and that mission needs to be our mutual well-being. Uh-huh. Worldwide, all of us together.
That's, yes, we're electing a story, and everything is speaking to us all the time. I think it's part of, as different truths get animated by the movement, the astrological movement, but it says, everything's speaking to us all the time by shape and color and song and rhythm, and if we just approach the world with informed, reverent curiosity, we'd be back in the infinite game, right? So that Neptune, you know, the infinite game, I like that. So the unified consciousness, and what I'm thinking about, because I just got out of the ocean, and I'm still shivering, because it is uncharacteristically, I'm covered in salt water, I'm covered in Big Mama's water as I sit here shivering, you know, because the water, I'm at Fenwick Island, Delaware Beach, you know, is uncharacteristically cold because the storms have pulled up the deep ocean water to the surface. And it's like, so I was reminding the Orisha, the intelligence of the deep ocean. There's Yamaya, who's the ocean, but there's Ologun, who is the deep, ocean. So it's like we have Big Mama. A lot of this journey that we're on, it's a never-ending journey, right? But on one level, it began on the full moon of July 21st, 2024, for reasons we've been narrating, in this show and in our conversation. And that was Big Mama coming in to have, reverence for life, inform our structures of governance, going whoosh, whoosh. And it was on that full moon that Joe Biden, completed the agreement on the prisoner Russia-U.S. swap, and then handed the baton to Kamala Harris on the full moon, right? Who then called all the union leaders and called all the everybody just quite deft. She's again Libra Aries full moon, and then we had the next full moon, which was August 19th, just now, and then there'll be a full moon, on September 17th, right, where I hope to be with you in Viroqua, Wisconsin. That's a lunar eclipse, and that's a full moon right next to Neptune, the full moon of we're all kin, we're all unified consciousness, the deep ocean coming up to the surface for many reasons, but it's like, ooh. There's the narrative, and people can be grumpy about obvious and important things, and then there's the larger forces at work in all of our lives, right? Which we don't inflate, we don't make anybody a god or a goddess or anything. And I'm always in favor of national return to birth name day, just for the fun of it, just going back to that. So we don't inflate or whatever, but we do now. I think the antidote to the jumpiness that I've been noticing in myself and others, you know, Venus squares Mars and Jupiter, which squares Saturn. So the description is like, whoa, and then it says, go deep into the Ologun, deep ocean realms, just again, for all of us to make our dedication, you know, underneath the surface chop, you know, deep, deep down. And I love the chant to Yamaya, who's the ocean, who goes, you know, Kai, 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 how wonderful, my mother's house is in the sea, my mother is an anchor in the storm. So our dedication to the ocean, to our oneness, you know, to peace, to protection of all life, to honoring and reverence for all life, that's our anchor in the storm. So we're on our way out, but we have a minute or two, Jerome. And as I said to you, you are so full and you are so prepared, and you have so much to offer. So this is really part one. It's part one. I said, don't feel like you have to put it all in, because that'll be impossible. But is there anything in our last minute-ish that you would want to spiral forth as an encouragement, as a dedication, as a blessing? Oh, maybe we lost Jerome. Don't know. Or maybe we lost me. Can't tell. Oh, okay. So Jerome has dropped out. It's a quirky time. It's a Mercury retrograde. We're fluctuating. My internet is slightly unstable near the ocean, but we made it through. We made it through. There will be more Jerome presenting in the fullness of soon. And yeah, just for everybody, again, we're animating, we're magnetizing, animating, and spiraling forth into the memosphere, you know, the desirable story. And again, we're not expecting, but we are willing. And I think just we're willing to see Representative Ruwa, you know, Palestinian elected official in Georgia, presenting tonight at the convention. We are disappointment proof, but we're willing such a thing. There we go. So thank you, Jerome, wherever you are. I will speak to you again. Internet unstable, everything unstable, but we got through the whole thing pretty well. Thanks so much to Roxy, our board op. I'm Caroline Casey, and we will reconvene next week. Thank you, team. Woof, 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 woof. Up. Oh.